The angel Gabriel visits Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever."
Thank you.
the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you. birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were filled with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured upon these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
About 4 weeks ago, I was led to write this poem with the Bible open at Luke 2. I pray the poem will bless you as much as God blessed me in writing. We together give him the glory. And the poem is entitled, Jesus Our Saviour. The shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch all their flock one dark night. An angel appeared to them in his glory, giving them all a terrible fright. Do not be afraid. This is good news. Great joy in each heart for those that believe. Today in the town of David now go. God's blessing bring with you as you perceive. Then angels all sang of the Saviour's birth. Glory to God were their words to the world. Peace to all men who grasp hold of the truth that our world has a Saviour, we're told. The angels then left the shepherds alone to take to their hearts in gladness that night. Let's go and see for ourselves, one and all, this glorious babe who is the world's light. Then they made haste to Bethlehem town to see who the angels had sung born a Saviour, found Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, God's Son, wonder of wonders, in stable the manger. The shepherds returned to see to their flock. They left on the hills that wondrous night. With glorious praise and songs of great joy, the angels proclaimed such glorious sight. Now to us here below, do we believe in Christ the Redeemer, our wonderful Lord? Do we believe Christ Jesus is King? He came down to save us, true to his word. Amen.
Wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
One word question. Where? A grandmother hears what her grandson wants for Christmas, and she thinks to herself, where on earth do I get one of those? There's a man walking through a department store with a phone stuck to his ear, talking to his wife, where are you? There's parents on the phone to their daughter, now grown up, often living away from home. Where are you spending Christmas? Where can be an important question. And in the story that has been read for us, where is a really important question. Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? They're looking in the wrong place. They've come to Jerusalem. And so the question is asked on their behalf. Where is the Messiah to be born? And as those who have that question placed to them give the answer, they know exactly where to go for the answer. And they know exactly where he's going to be born. The place is Bethlehem. And the reason why they know the place is because Micah, hundreds of years before, with God's help, recorded the prediction. The one to come would come to Bethlehem. That's a prophecy from Micah. It wasn't the only thing that he said that came true. It's perhaps the most famous. But in those few verses of Micah chapter 5, he promises a number of things that hopefully you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ in. He prophesies the place, Bethlehem. But he also prophesies a position that Jesus will hold. Micah says that the one who is to be born in Bethlehem will be born a ruler. Why is it, do you think, the wise men come? They followed a star. Who are they looking for? A baby who's a king. They're looking for a ruler. That's another one of the promises that came from God through Micah, that came true, in Jesus. Here's another one. Micah spoke of what kind of person would come. He said that the one who would be born in Bethlehem, who would be born a ruler of his people, would come from of old, ancient days. a few weeks ago, I was talking to the children in one of our clubs, and I was trying to explain to them the wonder of the promise that God made that Jesus would reign forever and ever, a never-ending kingdom. And so I showed them a picture of our Queen as she is now, with a few more grey hairs than she's had in the past. How old do you think our Queen is? I asked the children. One of the kids had her down for 600. Now then, we know what to do with estimates like that, don't we? We just laugh them off. But what do you do with an estimate like that? Micah said that the one to come to Bethlehem, who would be a ruler, would come from of old, from ancient days. When the Bible uses ancient days, it's not like a child thinking of 600 years. It's God communicating to finite minds. Ancient. Eternal. So here Micah tells us, the one to come to Bethlehem will come as a ruler, and he'll come from eternity. He'll come from ancient days. And then he talks about a picture, an often used picture of God relating to his people. Micah speaks of this one to come as being a shepherd for his flock. I'm just going to put the words of that promise up, okay? These are the words that Micah uses. He says, and he shall stand, or if you like, he shall rise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. The one to come to Bethlehem will come to reign. He'll come from ancient days, from eternity, and he'll come to shepherd his people so they will be completely secure. What do you think of that promise? You might be thinking, oh, that sounds really nice, that. It's far more than nice. It was absolutely necessary. This is not a little add-on to life. This is not an extra bit that gives us a tick of joy and a smile in our hearts. When the Bible uses pictures like shepherd and sheep, we can often get it carried away with our own thoughts. But imagine a sheep or a flock of sheep without a shepherd. Imagine a flock with no farmer to look after them. 2, 3, 4 days, they would no longer be a flock. They'd be a wolf's dinner or part of another flock because they've been stolen by another shepherd. And that picture can give us the idea that we just need protecting from other things. There are bad stuff out there, and we need a secure, loving shepherd to look after us. You know, the Bible talks about more than just us being vulnerable sheep. The Bible gives us pictures of us being those who try to make a claim on the throne. God's in charge, and we would rather be there. The Bible makes it clear that we are law breakers. We are truth suppressors. God has shown himself and we don't want to know. We are self lovers. Do you get the idea? Where's the enemy for the flock? The enemy's not outside only. The enemy's inside too. And so when God talks in pictures of a shepherd coming to protect his sheep, he's protecting the sheep from themselves. He's saving them from the problem that lies within. Without Jesus, in other words, God is not our king, our ruler. And actually we quite like it like that. And so he comes to Bethlehem as a ruler from of old, from ancient days, to shepherd. And as he shepherds, he exerts God's loving authority. Let me show you something that Jesus clearly understood. He talked about himself being a shepherd in these ways. John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." Do you see what comes next? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see that throne-claiming, law-breaking, self-loving, truth-suppressing part of us deserves death. And the good shepherd comes, saves us from ourselves by dying in our place. If you like, the good shepherd takes and gives. He takes our place. He takes our guilt before God and our shame before God. And he takes our death. And as he takes that, he gives. He gives forgiveness. He gives life. He gives a relationship with his Father that we know him now forever. Why am I sharing you these things? I'm sharing you these things because there's one more promise that Micah made. Not only that he would come to Bethlehem as a ruler, not only that he would come from Ancient of Days as a shepherd, but also this. Here's the end of the prophecy. He shall be their peace. So God sending a shepherd isn't a nice idea. God sending a shepherd is a needed truth. He's a needed saviour. And as he comes and saves, there is peace. The reason why I'm drawing your attention to that is simply this. Simeon uses that word peace. Lots of the Bible stories use it, but Simeon, an old man holding Jesus in his arms, says this, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace." He is yet to see the shepherd die to save him from his sins, but he knows that God will do it. He's yet to experience that rule of the shepherd Jesus Christ over his heart. But he believes that God here has delivered. Do you spot it? Through faith for Simeon, the peace through Jesus comes. And it's exactly the same for us. Through faith in the shepherd who dies to save us from ourselves, and give us life with God through faith, peace comes. It's not a peace linked to Christmas trees and lights or happy feelings when presents are given and exchanged. It's a peace that will hold you fast even when you lose your wit and you lose your strength. Even when all around you is chaos, God will keep his peace with you because of Jesus Christ. So can I come back to that question that I started with? Where? Not where is he to be born, that's been sorted. But where are you? Where are you with Jesus? Sounds like a question, doesn't it? And it is. But because Jesus came to reign, it's more than a question. It's not, will you come and trust Jesus? It's not a question. It's not an invitation. Come and trust Jesus. Because he rules, it's a loving command. Come. Come. And trust the Jesus who's come to save you. That's the strength of where we are. That's what Simeon did. The shepherds, the wise men, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zachariah, Simeon, Anna. They've all had that kind of knee-bending, heart-submitting experience of encountering Jesus and trusting God with him. So where are you with Jesus? Are you prepared to obey his loving command to come and trust him and know that peace from him? If you are prepared, or you'd like to be willing to obey that command, I'm going to suggest three things for you. Two of them may be helpful. One of them is essential. I'm going to offer you a number of conversations. I'm one of the church leaders here, so is Johnny, my colleague. We'd be more than happy to talk to any of you today, in the coming days, about this sort of thing. And maybe you've come with a friend or a family member who's a Christian. You don't need to talk to us, you can talk to them about these things. Ask them about why they believe. Talk. That would be helpful. Another thing that would be helpful is the new year, we're planning to run a course that gives people opportunity to ask questions, hear answers, think about Jesus Christ. There's little cards in the seats in front of you. If you just fill your name in, a contact, we'll get back to you about when that course starts. They might be helpful. But the one thing that's necessary is that you come, it could be tonight, to the Jesus who has come to save you. And you come because he has come already. You come because he's come to save you from yourself. You come because he's come to rule over you in a loving way forever and ever. So, one last time. Where are you with Jesus Christ? Will you let him know? Will you let him know that you submit to his loving reign and ask him to hold on to you forever and ever?
John unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known."
Father in heaven, we thank you at the end of our service for such a subject of joy and thanksgiving, rejoicing and of faith. We thank you that Christ has come from Bethlehem to reign, from Ancient of Days as a shepherd, that we may have peace. Gracious Heavenly Father, receive our glad thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may these days, busy though they may be filled with the peace that comes from trusting in Christ. And we thank you for such a message, for such a Saviour. And we pray that your truth would stay with us, that the light of the gospel of Christ would shine upon us, and that peace and joy and hope and love remain with us, we pray. Receive our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Can I encourage you to stay for refreshments? There are a whole host of goodies as well as tea and coffee there, so I encourage you to stay for that. And thank you again to all those who have taken part in making this evening an enjoyable occasion for many. Thank you.